You're listening to Midlife Side Quest, the Over the Hill Gaming Podcast. Here's your host, John Wall.
Welcome to Midlife Side Quest, the Over the Hill Gaming Podcast. Each week, I, John Wall, will bring you the latest gaming impressions, news, and industry happenings delivered to you in under 15 minutes to fit your busy life. On today's episode, we will be talking about Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny. If you haven't yet subscribed to the show, please take a moment to do so, and I would also love to hear your feedback, which you can do by leaving a review wherever you're listening to today's episode. And you can also find the show and join in on the conversation by finding us on Twitter or Facebook by searching for Midlife SQ. Every week I start the show with some positive vibes, a special shout out to somebody amazing in an attempt to make the gaming space a little bit more welcoming and spread some joy. And this week's positive vibes go out to Victor Lucas. Not only is Victor one of the most well-respected video game journalists and personalities out there with decades of experience and being the host of Electric Playground, but he also just so happens to be a super nice guy. One of my favorite E3 memories was on the last day of E3 2017, I believe, and the show was wrapping up and people were heading out, and I just so happened to walk by as Victor and the EP crew were putting away all of their gear. So I stopped for a moment just to say hi and tell him that I was a fan and admirer of his work. And he ended up stopping and talking to me for something like 20 minutes as they packed up and ended their E3. He is probably the friendliest person in the industry that I've had the pleasure of meeting. It's probably something to do with, you know, the whole Canadian thing. And I will always be a fan of his. So go subscribe to Electric Playground on YouTube right now. I was born in the late 70s, so I grew up on 80s action heroes. Luke Skywalker, John Rambo, Ellen Ripley, and of course, Indiana Jones. Those original films were a perfect blend of thrills and jokes and the kind of scares that would absolutely be burned into an 8-year-old's memory for the rest of their life. I will never forget seeing a man's face melting away like a candle, or Rom tearing a person's still beating heart out of their chest with his bare hands. Yuck. Raiders of the Lost Ark and Last Crusade in particular still hold up to me as two of the greatest action-adventure films of all time. And that's a tough act to follow. And 2008's Kingdom of the Crystal Skull proved that maybe some franchises are better left alone after what was already a pretty satisfying conclusion. But that film left a bad taste in a lot of people's mouths. And it always felt like a shame that the last memory that we would have would be Shia LaBeouf swinging with some CG monkeys and Indy surviving a nuclear blast in a Frigidaire. Thankfully, I wasn't the only one who thought so, and director James Mangold has dragged Harrison Ford back for one final adventure, and this time it is a much, much more satisfying conclusion for the iconic character. Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny begins with a flashback to the end of World War II as Indy faces off against the Nazis one more time while trying to reclaim an ancient relic. It's a thrilling opening scene that begins in a castle that is being bombarded by Allied planes, and it ends on board a speeding Nazi train. Using similar de-aging technology that Disney's used in some of their Marvel films, the young Indiana Jones is one of the best uses yet of this technology. And aside from a couple of shots where the effect is less convincing, they do a pretty darn good job of transforming the 79-year-old actor into a 35-year-old version of himself. After that exciting opener, the film picks up in 1969 during the height of the space race, where we find Indy getting ready for retirement as he is teaching archaeology to a bunch of kids who are more interested in rockets going to the moon than they are ancient civilizations. This is a decidedly different Indy that we're seeing here. Yes, he's older, and he seems content to hang up his hat for good, but it's more than just his age. There's also a sadness surrounding him, a melancholy which seems to have just consumed him in his later years as he reflects back on his life and the decisions that he's made. He doesn't have long to wallow in his post-retirement sorrow, though, as when his goddaughter arrives in search of an item that has eluded Indy his entire career, he gets predictably swept up in one final globe-trotting adventure. And it's a hell of an adventure. So much of this movie just feels like classic Indy as they travel the world following clues that will lead them to an item more powerful than anything he searched for before. And on his heels, of course, are a group of villains who want the device for themselves. But who they are and what their goal is remains a mystery for most of the movie. Leading that group is Mads Mikkelsen, an actor who is not only great in pretty much any role he plays, but he's also someone who just seems born to play an Indiana Jones villain. And he is predictably great here, as are the rest of the supporting cast. Indiana Jones films are famous for their great supporting characters who join Indy on his adventures, from Sala, who makes a return here, to Short Round, and of course his dad, Henry Jones Sr. And the addition in this film of Phoebe Waller-Bridge and Ethan Isidore fit right into that group. Waller-Bridge is great as Indy's goddaughter, who might not have the most well-intentioned reasons for tagging along, but it's clear that she's learned a lot from her father, who was an old associate of Indy's, and knows a thing or two both about deciphering ancient clues as well as getting out of a scrape. She is really great in this film. I would actually be curious to see if they would try and carry this character on in further adventures. And Isidore, as her young partner, brings a lot of lighthearted fun to the journey. And he's also got some skills that come in handy from time to time. I'm trying not to spoil anything from the film, which, you know, hasn't already been shown in the trailers. So I'm not going to get into a lot of specifics here. But one of my favorite things about the movie is just, like I said, how much it felt like a classic Indy adventure. From the aforementioned fight on a Nazi train to exploring tombs and decoding ancient relics and texts, it has all of the excitement that you would want from an Indy adventure, including a good dose of humor. It checks all those boxes. Most of the issues that I would have with the movie are pretty nitpicky, but if I had to look for some, I'd say, you know, the original trilogy had a certain wackiness about it. You know, it wasn't slapstick, but there was a definite, there were moments of silliness during the action, which I really loved in those movies. And I don't think there's quite enough of that here. And also, while I understand the risks of putting a 79-year-old man on a bucking horse, there are just a couple of moments when the use of CG, you know, to put Indy into some of the more action-packed moments just doesn't quite work. It's not bad, but any time that you notice that something is CG, it does pull you out of the immersion just a little bit. My favorite thing about this movie, though, is its heart. It has a really good heart. There were lots of comments before the film came out about how Ford was too old to return as Indy, and I really don't like that. I push back on that hard. We can be so quick to dismiss people when they get to a certain age as if they are of no more value to us. And why is Indiana Jones' life any less interesting now that he can't outrun a boulder? Although he can apparently still jump out of an airplane. The movie does a great job of examining what it's like to get to a certain age and, you know, maybe you feel like you're not as useful as you once were, or, you know, you're looking back on the regrets you may have about your life. And these are all moments in a person's life. And while, you know, I'm not 79 yet, these are things that I could relate to a little bit. And I really thought that they handled it well, especially in the film's finale. This is a beautiful and fitting send-off, and one that the character and us fans truly deserved. Feels as if the showdown between Microsoft and the FTC might be coming to a conclusion before too long, with a ruling expected any day now on their request for an injunction. While I've found the hearings to be really fascinating from an industry perspective, I love, you know, the inside baseball of the gaming industry. I can't wait for all of this to be over. Not because I feel one way or another about whether the acquisition should go through, but because this deal has brought out the worst in a lot of people. Ever since those hearings started, my social media feed has been filled with more console warrior BS than ever before. Grown men and women, mostly men, arguing about their console of choice and slinging childish insults back and forth. Sony pony this and X-bot that. It's so sad, really. I'm a grown man. I am almost 50 years old, and my day is full of so many things to worry about, from my health to my kids to, you know, the entire world seemingly crumbling to dust all around us. The last thing I'm worried about is if one person likes PlayStation more than Xbox. Who cares? Why does it matter? What possible difference could it make in your life? Social media wasn't exactly rainbows and unicorns before this trial, but man, it has stoked the fires of stupidity, and the day when we can finally move on cannot come soon enough. Thank you so much for listening to Midlife Side Quest. Don't forget, you can catch a new episode every Thursday morning wherever you listen to podcasts. And if you enjoyed this show, you can show your support by subscribing and leaving a review. And you can follow the show on Twitter and Facebook, where we go by MidlifeSQ. So until next time, be well and keep playing.